Mike Grimm Monday here in Albert Lee Radio. Afternoons with Aaron, voice of Golden Gopher Sports, sports director of Minnesota News Network. Mike Grimm joins us. And Mike, a good afternoon. How was the weekend?
Yeah, what a weekend, huh? Holy cow. You had the Vikings, you had the Wolves last night scoring a team record 150. And yeah, a lot of cool things happening, no doubt, big time.
Well, let's jump right into the Vikings game. And I have to say this off the bat, because I've been asked by many people, how'd you feel in that second half? How'd you feel with the win on Saturday? I was not there on Saturday. I skipped the game for family Christmas because priorities. Family always comes first. I'm sitting there watching the game, and the Vikings win. And one of my uncles comes up to me and goes, I'm feeling for you, Aaron. I'm feeling for you, because what's going through my mind, and you've seen the movie Fever Pitch, I assume.
I have not seen that movie, no.
Okay, so in Fever Pitch, Jimmy Fallon, big fan of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And he goes on a date with Drew Barrymore, and it's a game where the Red Sox were down by a bunch, and they came back and won. One of the greatest comebacks in the history of Boston Red Sox baseball. And Jimmy doesn't miss any games. He's a season ticket holder, but he missed it for a date. And he just feels like he's never going to let this happen again, because Red Sox first, Red Sox first. I'm kind of sitting at Christmas going, I missed the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL. Being said, I know I have relatives listening. I had a great time on Saturday. So glad I went to Christmas. But let's jump right into the Vikings game against the Colts. And maybe I have a negative take because I missed it. But, Mike, before we talk about the second half, my first thoughts in this game is I want this team to do good in the postseason. You know, I want them to win a game or two. I want them to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. If you fall behind, heck, 33-0, if you fall behind 14-0 to Dallas, Philadelphia, San Francisco, I guarantee you're not coming back against those teams. I'm still a little worried about our team, maybe the first time this year, Mike, because I know it was a great comeback, but this is the Colts. The Colts should never come to U.S. Bank Stadium and jump up by 33 points.
It was a weird half, though. I mean, you think about the way they got the lead. There was it was bizarre. And I swear to God, this is true. I was at the game, and I'm sitting next to a couple guys in the press box, and it's 33-0. And I said, I think they can win the game.
Did you
and
really?
They kind of let, yeah. And they kind of giggled. I'm like, well, they're not going to win the game, but I said, I think they can. I said, first, the Colts are no good. And two, that first half was the most crazy, you know, the whole game, the Colts only scored one offensive touchdown.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, they scored 33 and they put up one offensive touchdown. And look, in the NFL, you're going to give up some yards. So I get why people were discouraged by the defense in the previous weeks, but I thought the defense was pretty solid in this game. And the comeback to me was impressive because it did not involve, I mean, they did have one play drive, the play to Cook, which was a beautiful play. Otherwise, they were drives. I mean, they had to put drives together. They had to move the ball down the field. Usually, because I saw some people say this wasn't a comeback, that was a collapse by the Colts. And I'm like, well, what'd the Colts do? They punted, you know. That's what a lot of teams do when they have the lead and they don't collapse. Like it wasn't like, oh, they fumbled at their own three. They threw a pick six. They blocked, had a field goal attempt blocked and returned for a touchdown. I mean, I actually thought this was one where the Vikings went and got it. I mean, they had five touchdowns, you know, and they drove them. And they got stops and did certain things that were good, you know. That said, yeah, you don't want to fall down 33-0, but you think about it, they had a pick six, then a block punt for a touchdown. They tried to fake a punt, which I don't know why they did that. And they went for it on fourth and one, didn't get it. So all those things led to really what was the problem. And once they got some momentum, it was crazy. It was ridiculously crazy. So, and the fact that they won the game, I took it as a positive, because there is something to be said about just experiencing those kind of wins and expecting and not panicking and those things. And look, can the luck run out? Of course it can at any point. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. But, look, this team, because I've seen that as well where people are like, well, they have no chance. I'm like, look, they've beaten the Bills in Buffalo, right? I know they got blown out by Dallas, but they've pretty much, taken the rest of the league. You only can play the schedule in front of you, and they've pretty much run through it. They had a week two loss to the Eagles, and then the Lions have been playing pretty good football, and that game was there for the taking. So I'm still fine with these guys. I think they're to win the way they did was one memorable, but two, I do think that can be a galvanizing deal too.
Mike, way to take my bitterness away. I appreciate the positivity spin. I mean, I'm not complaining about the win. And like you mentioned, they fell behind because they made tons of mistakes. And, yes, the second half definitely was impressive because the Colts didn't make mistakes. The offense just kept scoring touchdown after touchdown. And I truly believe after a San Francisco beat Seattle on Thursday that the Vikings are probably going to have to win out to get the number two seed. I think for us to have any chance to, get to the Super Bowl, and I'm assuming you're going to agree with this, we have to be the two seed and have at least two games, then hope maybe something weird happens on the other side of the bracket. But I think we have to have two games at home to have a chance to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, certainly that would be helpful. I am still under the belief that anything can happen. So, whatever happens, happens. Like, there's not a team in the league that this team can't beat. But, like, there's nothing that's out of reach, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, to me, it's like just get in there and see where it takes you. And I've used this example with you before and with others when I talk about it. The Rams last year won the Super Bowl, and because they won the Super Bowl, we think of them as some power, though they were just had this some unbelievable, hectic free year. They just breezed through the schedule, and they're Super Bowl champs. And nothing could be further from the truth if you go back and really analyze that season. They got 50 scored on in the last game of the year by the Niners, last game of the year, and then they go into the playoffs and nobody's talking about them as a chance, as a team that's going to win the Super Bowl, and they did. You're just like what you mentioned. They caught a couple breaks. They didn't have to face the Packers, I think did they go down to Tampa and win? I can't remember now.
Yes, they did. Yep, almost positive.
They had a 3-game losing streak in the middle of the year. They were cutting and signing guys throughout the year, trying to find and plug holes because they had such a salary cap burden. They couldn't really, do much. And then they got Odell Beckham Jr. and that certainly helped. And so look, teams aren't perfect. They just aren't. And the same goes with the Buccaneers who won the year before. I mean, with 6 games left in the year, that team wasn't even going to be in the playoffs. And then they won, 8 straight or something. So
that's right. Yep.
We're in an age where like the days of New England going, 15-1 and waltzing through with Tom Brady, those days are over, In fact, if you think about it, whoever wins the Super Bowl, I mean, we 5 weeks in, we thought the Bills were the most dominant team in the history of football, it seemed like. And they might not even win their division at this point. The Dolphins could win that division, potentially. Probably not, but you get what I'm saying. Everyone's got some warts here. The Chiefs, to me, are probably the biggest threat. I like them. I like their quarterback. But they certainly haven't been perfect. And, they're probably not going to get the one seed in that AFC either. So, no team is perfect. No team's just going to waltz through and just have an easy take. So, could the Vikings be one and done? Yep, they sure could. But could they make a run and give us something to cheer about? I think that's a possibility as well.
Mike Graham, Monday here on Kate Radio. And you brought up New England, and there's so many, side stories when it comes to games yesterday. It was a wild Sunday in the NFL. But we got to talk about what I think might be the biggest bonehead play maybe in the history of the NFL. And if you missed this yesterday, New England was running the football. They were just going to, run the ball once and go to overtime against the Vegas Raiders. And for some reason, they started lateral the football. They were going like they needed to score a touchdown to win the game. It was so weird. And a wide receiver throws it back to Mac Jones, the quarterback, that there's nothing that he could do with the football anyways. He can't pass it at that point. And Mac Jones gets lit up like a semi driving over him. I think it was one of the linemen for the Raiders picks it up, and the Raiders win the game in regulation. Mike, have you ever seen a play as crazy and maybe the biggest mistake I've ever seen in an NFL game?
It was. I didn't see it live, of course, but I've seen the replay now a million times, and I don't know how you can lose your head the way they did. I understood the first lateral because Stevenson was, you know, like you said, it was just going to be a handoff. You get your 4 yards and you go to overtime. But he had broken into the secondary. He had gotten into Raiders territory. I think it was, what, to about the 35, I want to say, somewhere in there.
It was a good run, yeah.
And, you know, and so if one lateral frees a guy up, Myers down the sideline, and he can score, fine. So I actually didn't have a huge issue with that one. But once Myers was kind of cut off, Myers just needs to either get tackled or go out of bounds or, you know, see if he can break a tackle and that be it. But for whatever reason, he lost his mind. You're right. I don't know. I don't know what went through his head. If you saw the sideline, Matt Patricia, who was the former Lions coach, who at one time was the defensive coordinator for the Lions, or for the Patriots, and now he's the offensive coordinator, and a weird thing that Bill Belichick's doing this year. But if you watch the highlights, he's like just throwing his hands up in the air. As soon as Meyer starts backpedaling, you can just see him. He's like, what in the blank are you doing? And then he throws it, and Chandler Jones, the beauty of the whole thing was the stiff arm he put on the guy.
Oh,
right?
My Mac goodness, Jones, yeah.
Chandler Jones is, I guess it's Jones to Jones violence here, as Chandler Jones catches it and then just puts Mac Jones, you know, just plants him into the, spikes him into the turf, and off he goes, and that was the game. On one hand, what a boneheaded play. I also wonder, like, what is Chandler Jones doing way back there? That's a weird place to be standing. Shouldn't he be in pursuit? But he ended up being the right man in the right spot to make that play.
Voice of Golden Gopher Sports, Sports Director, Minnesota News Network. Of course, Mike Grimm joining us here on this Monday. So many topics to get to. I want to change it up to the Twins really quick. And I know Twins fans are kind of shaking their head after they missed out on Carlos Rodon. Even though they put a pretty good bid in for the left-hander, they missed out on Carlos Correa. They sign, I guess, the new addition of Miguel Sano with Joey Gallo with a one-year contract. From a Twins perspective, or a Twins fans perspective, Mike, I mean, there's got to be more coming. They have plenty of money to spend if they want to be near where they were spending-wise last year. Your thoughts on Joey Gallo coming to Minneapolis?
Well, you just got to hope you got the 2021 version and not the 2022 version, although even the 22 version gave you some defense. He's got a good arm. He can play center. He can play right. So that part of it's fine. He can hit the ball a mile. Like he's going to hit 10 balls probably up on that plaza in right field, so that'll be fun. But, yeah, I think generally just a disappointing stretch, you know, for the Twins. I know that the Correa thing was probably a long shot, as we thought all along, and I know they offered more average dollars per year in a shorter contract than what the Giants gave, and you know, it's tough. I'm not going to blame him too much. That's 13 million or 13 years, 350 million. That's a long time, and that's a lot of money. And I think Correa's good. I don't know if I'd potentially hamstring the franchise for him. So it's a tough spot. You know, now you got to hope your front office is good. And the other thing I'd say is that on top of that is that the Twins have some good shortstops in the pipeline. That if one doesn't work out, hopefully another will. So to also, you know, throw that much of your budget into a position where you don't have much need and where you really got to go get some pitchers. Problem is there's not a lot of good starting pitchers now. You may have to do some trades to acquire one. You got to get at least one, I think, and two if you really want to show anybody you're serious about anything. But you know me, I'm at this point sounding like a broken record. If they don't change how they manage a pitching staff, it ain't going to matter who they sign. I mean,
correct,
if you're Carlos Rodon, why would you come here to throw five innings every night to pitch? You know, no pitcher, no starter wants to go five innings. You know, and if they don't change that, one, they're not going to win much. Why they think that's a winning strategy is beyond me. You got 100 years of baseball, and even in the new analytics world, nobody did it that way. Nobody. And there's a reason. You're not that smart, Twins. Sorry. It's baffling. So until they decide that they want to change that, and hopefully they will, hopefully they'll look at it and see how silly it was, to ask that bullpen to do what it did. I saw somebody the other day write a full article about the Twins only had four bullpen pitchers that were reliable. And I'm like, that's every bullpen. Like, every bullpen has three guys who suck and four guys who are really good. And you know what other teams do? They manage it so that they put the guys that aren't any good in spots where it doesn't matter. But because the Twins handled the bullpen the way they did, they had to put guys that weren't very good into positions that mattered too much, because they used the guys that were really good in spots that they shouldn't have. And they were forced to put guys in the fifth inning and sixth inning. I mean, to run Chris Archer out there knowing he was only going to get you four innings every day was malpractice, Like, that guy's got to be a bullpen pitcher. You can't do that every 5 days to your bullpen. Like, the bullpen was maligned, but it was maligned because they were put in just horrible situations by this weird reliance on, third time through the order. Like, one stat, you're gonna manage an entire season based on one number, which is skewed to start with, So, anyway, I'm on my soapbox again. But until they decide to change that part of it, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Mike, let's talk Gophers. I am off the next two Mondays, so this will be our last conversation of 2022. Going to recharge, spend some family time before, for us in the prep sports world, January, February, March gets pretty busy in the high school realm. But let's talk about Gopher sports, of course, the basketball team, the men's team. They got Chicago State coming up this week. And, of course, the Golden Gopher football team gets ready for a game a week from Thursday, Pinstripe Bowl in New York City against Syracuse. So it's an exciting holiday season for Gopher sports.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually heading out with the team this year, depending on venue and location and certain needs with pregame show interviews and those kind of things. It varies as to when I actually go to the bowl game. So this year we're heading out. I'm heading out with the team on Christmas afternoon.
Oh, nice!
So I'll be out in New York about 4 days, which will be fun. I have to bring my winter clothes, but I would have to have winter clothes here too. So it's all good. Around the holidays, I think it'll be cool to see New York City. And then the football game, Minnesota's going to be a favorite in this game. Syracuse has had several players opt out. The Gophers obviously will be missing a few guys who enter the transfer portal, but we'll see where it goes. And just because you're a favorite doesn't mean anything. It's going to be, Syracuse will have some other guys that will have an opportunity. Syracuse lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator, but, the Gophers have won two bowl games in the last 4 or 5 years where they've lost their some of their coaches, and they've won them. So certainly no guarantees. It'll be basically a home game for Syracuse with all the alums that they have living in New York City. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a pretty cool game. And, our home booth our radio booth is the home radio booth. So we'll be in the Yankees radio booth, which will be kind of a cool thing, for a broadcast geek like me. So looking forward to it.
And, of course, we'll have Mike on with the Ben Johnson Coaches Show this week in a P.J. Fleck with a special bowl edition of Golden Gopher Weekly here on Kate. And we should mention, you did bring up at the beginning of the conversation, I was in attendance for this one last night. So, I missed the Vikings. I was there last night as the Timberwolves, 150 points, franchise high last night. They could not miss. And anytime your NBA team's hitting shots there, they're a lot more fun to watch, Mike, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt. Any team that is hitting shots has got a better chance of winning. So what, they put 150 on the Chicago Bulls, who are really in a free for all right now. But man, or a free fall, I should say, right now. Man, what I guess.
And they should be good.
D-Lo was what, 7 of 10 from three, and Ant was filling it up, and fun to see. Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully they got it going. They've won a couple in a row, and Cat, I think, is due back here pretty soon, and they're already talking about different roles and strategies they can play to integrate him back in an effective manner. So they're still kind of hanging around to the point at which they can be considered a playoff threat, because the West is crazy. Like, there's just a bunch of teams, a few games around 500, and the Wolves are right at 500. So they're not out of anything yet at this point.
Yeah, I think the Timberwolves are 2.5 games out of like the fourth spot and only 4.5 games out of the top spot. That's how close the West is, like 1 through 10. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, sports director, Minnesota News Network, joins us for a weekly conversation every Monday. Again, we won't talk to Mike until probably January 9th into the new year. We'll have a lot to talk about in a few weeks. Mike, Like always, thank you so much for joining us throughout the year. Have a great trip out to New York. A Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year to you and your family. Again, we'll hear from Mike this week. Ben Johnson, Coach's Show, PJ Fleck, Coach's Show, right here on Kate. So take care. Enjoy the holidays, my friend.
You too, Aaron. Happy holidays to you and your family and to everybody down in Kate Radio Country. Thank you.